I strongly encourage you to have your Bibles open to Psalm 30, if the red Bibles, 439. Last week we looked at Psalm 61. Today we're looking at kind of an overview, the way the Psalms are structured, orientation, disorientation, new orientation. And that really does reflect life as we experience it. Sometimes it is said that we are either entering into a season of trouble or we are coming out of a season of trouble. Or with respect to the Psalms, life is often about moving from a life of orientation, a settled, good life where life makes sense, to a time of disorientation where life as we know it has been turned upside down. And we find ourselves in those situations feeling pretty hopeless. And these same things, orientation, disorientation, new orientation, can happen in specific areas of our life or life as a whole. So I'm wondering today, as you think about your life, as you reflect, would you say that you feel like you're kind of heading into a season of trouble, of disorientation? Or do you feel like you're kind of emerging from a real challenging time, from trouble, from disorientation? Last week when I shared with you that life, for the most part, when I was growing up, in Minnesota, was really a number of seasons of orientation. Life was pretty predictable, pretty good, kind of Norman Rockwell type existence for sure. And I had the care and love of a family. I had camaraderie of friends. We played sports and we hung out. And we were kind of there supporting each other through the ups and downs. But it's true, as my life, as my childhood and my teens gave away to my 20s and life starts to happen, my 30s, what have you, you could say that the bubble burst just a bit and experiencing some trials, tribulations, some disorientation. I mean, the breakup of a significant relationship. Trying to, emerge, trying to embrace a career and some work. And loss of some loved ones. And wow, that move from orientation, kind of the bubble bursting, to disorientation. Again, how would you describe your life? You know, in Psalm 30, we see this movement of life. The background of Psalm 30 for David is disorientation. And he's moving from this season of disorientation. The disorientation may have been caused by, of course, David as an upstart leader. King Saul was threatened, tried to kill him. The loss of an infant child. Or again, as I mentioned last week, Absalom, his very own flesh and blood, tried to usurp the kingship from him, take it for a time, set himself up, chased David from Jerusalem and pursued him and sought to kill him. How's that for disorientation? And we see this, that David is emerging from this disorientation. He says in verse 1, "You've drawn me up." In verse 2, "I cried to you, you heal me." 3, "You brought me up, restored me from one who had gone down to the pit to Sheol." Literally, he was in the pit of death. Felt himself to be so. That's pretty hopeless, is it not? That's disorientation. And when we think about the author and the perfecter of our faith, Jesus. Jesus, in a sense, a season of orientation. He was one with the Father, He says, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Doing God's bidding, bringing forth the unfolding of the kingdom. Yes, there were challenges. Yes, there were hardships. But he had that orientation of a settled connection with his Heavenly Father's good. But as his public ministry, as he started to come to the end of it, we find Jesus, of course, in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's pleading, he's lamenting, "God, if possible, let this cup pass from me." And of course, on the cross, Jesus cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Again, Jesus, who was one with the Father, experienced that separation that disorientation. We do not have a high priest, Jesus, who's unacquainted with all our ways, our cries, our laments. And the difficult thing when we kind of experience this disorientation, it's painful. And it seems to kind of continue on. And at times, sometimes we feel deserted in our hour of trial, and sometimes deserted by God. If your Bibles are open, look at verse 7, if you will. We see the move. Verse 7. He says, "By your favor, O Lord, you had established me as a strong mountain." That's orientation. That's a settled and good life, you know. Then something changed. And he says, "You hid your face." I was dismayed. Disorientation. Soul pain. That's what's so challenging about seasons of disorientation. The settled life that you once knew, you know, it feels gone with the wind, if you will, gone for good. And you feel kind of like it's deserted. And you're in that spot for far too long. And we cry out, "Yeah, same thing. You hid your face, God. Where are you, God?" And I was dismayed. Or the psalmist says, "How long, O Lord? Will you forget me forever?" You ever been there? Huh? Are you there now? Perhaps you feel forgotten by God. You know, knowing a season of employment, of gainful employment and provision, perhaps some money in the bank and some ability to purchase some things you want, a few toys, but then you're downsized. You're downsized and your savings dwindled, and you cried out to God, "God, I need a job." And it feels like your cry or your prayer for a job goes unheeded. "Lord, how long? Don't you care about me, God? Don't you know my need?" Have you ever been there? Or perhaps it's a health issue. You've known good health for quite some time, right? You know? But all of a sudden the rug starts to feel like the rug's pulled off from underneath you, and you feel kind of thin. You don't feel as strong, as robust. You find yourself battling a chronic illness, and for quite some time. "Will I ever feel better again, God?" One of you cried out and lamented to me the other day, a physical battle, again with a chronic illness. This person said, "I'm just ready to go home to heaven and see my husband." For me, the disorientation is about, and I can find myself crying out, you know, "What happened to my life where life for me, for friends and loved ones, was kind of out in the future, right?" Now I find myself dealing with illness of friends, contemporaries of mine, and even death itself. And as I look around at myself, there's a lot more gray on the temples than there was a few years ago, a little longer in the tooth. I have this gang of guys I hang out with, and we've been hanging for more than 25 years, and one of the things we do is a yearly golf outing. And one of the phrases, one of the things we say to one another, "Tick, tock, tick, tock." It's like, hey, you know, the sands are slipping through the hourglass. We need to go. We need to get while the getting's good, because there's going to be come a day when we're not going to be able to hang out. Tick, tock. You know, and we heard in the song, you know, the good news, and this takes courage, mind you, but the good news is that in the midst of our battles, our challenges, our disorientation, we truly can express heartfelt pain and the challenges that we face with respect to enemies and foes. To do so honestly and openly, crying out to God, because that crying out to God is faith as well. And if you think about it, we really do live in a culture, kind of a death-denying culture. I get it. Who wants to face death? We live in a culture that, let's not really talk about, you know, enemies or heartache. I mean, this is about strength. This is about success. You know, again, who wants to hear about the other? But the good news is, Christians, I mentioned, here's where there is courage. It takes the courage of faith to literally face whatever our foe, whatever our challenge, whatever our enemy head on, if you will. Does that make sense? I mean, yeah, we want to live in denial. But we literally, what is it for you? Is it the fear of joblessness? Is it the fear of illness or the declining health of a loved one? To face it and do so. Because at the end of the day, God is God, and we believe God has the power to somehow intervene and save. But again, we bring our heartfelt lament, cries to God. Look at verses 8 and following, if you will. Look what David says. And that psalm is all over the place. He's just all over like a yo-yo because, again, he's moving from orientation to disorientation to new orientation. Verse 8, you know, he's looking again right at God, staring God down. He says, "To you, O Lord, I cried, and to the Lord I made my supplication. What profit is there in my death? If I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Hear, O God, and be gracious to me. O Lord, be my helper. In the pit of death, he cries out. To whom? To God alone." There's this theological concept in the Psalms. It's called imprecation. Hey, God, your God, you need to show up and be God, or my enemies will say that I've prevailed against one of God's own. God, your name is on the line. That's faith too. So he's crying out to God. Here's the good news. Here's the good news. God is not far out. God hears our cries, the laments of his people. And we see throughout Scripture, we see in the Psalms, we see in David's life here, that God has the power, that God intervenes and defeats formidable foes when it seems like there's no chance for it. I like, again, how this Psalm is all over the place. Now look at verses 1 and following, 1 through 3. Moving from that season of disorientation to a season of new orientation. He says, "I will extol you, Lord, for what? For you have drawn me up. You did not let your foes rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you have brought my soul up from Sheol, restored me to life from among those gone down to the pit." David didn't see it happening. He didn't see how. And yet, he refers to God as, "O Lord," translated from the Hebrew, Yahweh. The name that God gave to Moses when he identified himself to Moses, translated, "I am who I am. I am God for you, and I will be God for you." And we see that, do we not? Look at the decisive action. Again, when he never would have seen it coming, four active verbs. God is the subject, Yahweh is, and God is acting. David says, "You've drawn me up. You've healed me. You've brought me up. You've restored me from among those who have gone down to the pit." Restored David unexpectedly to, again, the fullness of life and hope and faith because he sees God's being God. It's true, is it not? When you find yourself in the season of disorientation and you're crying out, "How long, oh God? God, how long? I feel like you've forgotten me." It's really difficult to see any hope for the future, right? Are you with me? And it lingers. It lingers from our time frame. You know, we have this finite sense of time, and God is working things out for the grand good of creation and for us. It's hard to see it. You know, many of you know Arnie Rhea, right? Arnie attends the first service. He allowed me to share this. Arnie was a guy who was going along. Someone runs a red light. He gets hit. goes to the, his wife urges him to get some tests to go to the emergency room. He does so. He's faithful. He's smart. He obeys. And he discovers, however, the ER doctor, hey, you need to go see another doctor. And see, so he goes and sees another doctor. They have tests of all kinds, come back and say, there's a very strong chance, over 90% chance, you have cancer. And a serious cancer. Very, very life-threatening cancer. And so we gather and we pray over him. We anoint him with oil, and the prayer of faith will make the sick person well. Finally, the tests come back. No cancer. We're praising God, right? Then, if you can believe it, his doctor who was on vacation called back, whether it be 5, 6, 7 hours that same day and say, hey, not so fast. You probably got cancer. And you're going, are you kidding me? Why, God? Well, God, we trust you on your throne, but God, why? How come, O Lord? So then a whole new series of other tests and waiting and waiting and waiting. Word comes back, no cancer. Huh? Are you kidding me? Why, God? But we praise God. And I asked Arnie, I said, so tell me your thoughts about this journey. He did say to me, you know, when I was pretty sure I had cancer, I was worried about my loved ones and my wife, not so much about me. And I pressed him further, and he said, you know, it's just resulted even greater trust for me, trust in God. You know, Arnie has the gift of faith, but just trusting God in the midst of disorientation. How long, O Lord? That sense of faith that God is on the throne, that God is God. And here's the deal. When you experience God being God, it's not just now that new orientation. It's just not a return to status quo or how things were. This is really about being a different person because God showed up, right? And the only experience, when God shows up, and you know you're good no matter what, cancer or not, is praise. God, you're on the throne. And I like how, if your Bibles are open, David, when he experienced God, and God being God and saving him, he says, you, in verse 11, you have turned my mourning into dancing. You have taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy. Again, God is the actor. You turned. You have taken off and you have clothed me. The response is praise. We live in a world, a fallen world, and we have a foretaste of glory. You know, somehow God showing up. But even so, we lament, do we not? Again, I wonder, what is it for you today that is the enemy? Formidable foe, and you need God to be God. Huh? Jesus says, in this world, you'll have trials, right? But he also said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We know about the struggle with respect to our sinful nature and the good that we would, that we sometimes do not do. And we cry out to God for mercy and forgiveness. And the good news is, in the midst or in the face of our sin, the grace of God shows up, doesn't it? And we know we can begin anew and anew. And somehow by that lavishing of God's grace on us, perhaps we start to move from some of that chronic sin to a sense of freedom, and we give God's praise for it. Perhaps, I know my heart, I'm sure your heart breaks for this world and the suffering that we see, right? And we lament. We cry out. But again, Jesus says, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And even now we see the activity of God. Jesus says, the kingdom of God is among you. And when you experience the reign and rule of God, it does result in a change of heart and mind. When you experience God using you in some way redemptively in this fallen world and you're making a difference, it results in praise. Does it? Amen to that? Huh? Because it's about God. You know, sometimes I cry and lament and whine about, you know, kind of the prevalence of some of this fallenness and even death as life's days ebb away. But I do see God using others, persons of faith, to bring encouragement. I do see the activity of God's Spirit and God at work. And that's the encouragement. The encouragement. Because that's God showing up. That, yes, in anticipation of that fullness of glory, I can praise God. And if I find myself doing so, I know it's not me. I know it's God. So this new orientation, you know, life settled good, orientation, disorientation, the rug pulled out. How long, O Lord, to a season of new orientation? That's what assures us that one day we will experience the fullness of glory. And I like the words of the song, Love Divine, All Love Excelling. I think they apply the way the song ends. We will be lost in wonder, love and praise. Isn't that a wonderful vision? We'll be lost in wonder, love and praise. And so, because Jesus said, be of good cheer, I say to you, be of good cheer. Say, John, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. We can embrace these seasons in faith. We do so with the faith of Scripture. We do so with the faith that others have. That, yeah, one day, for sure, you know, weeping may linger for the night, but joy truly does come in the morning. And so in the meantime, pray, right? Read your Bibles with others, discover your giftedness, experience God using you. Let God be God for you in the midst of whatever your trials. Cry out to God. Face those enemies, those foes head on. Because as we do so, we are, it's true, preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. And it's God's doing. Can I hear an amen to that? Amen. Yeah.